Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, we have a lot to say about money on The Brian Lehrer Show today. Later, we'll play a clip from a new Huffington Post video that mashes up news from the banking crisis and Jimmy Stewart from the old movie It's a Wonderful Life to make a point about using community banks, not the big TARP recipients, for our personal banking. And we'll talk to personal finance guru Jane Bryan Quinn about internet banks and Ian Bremmer from the Eurasia Group about whether growth in China is a risk to jobs here. But we start down the money trail with new revelations about how the Federal Reserve Board helped AIG keep secrets from shareholders and the public about the terms of its massive bailout. Did you see this piece of news? Timothy Geithner, who was head of the New York Fed at the time, and AIG in the headlines again over a series of emails obtained by California Republican Daryl Issa, emails from the New York branch of the Fed that show the Fed suggested withholding key details from the public about credit default swap overpayments. Remember credit default swaps? At the time, Geithner was president of the New York Fed, but was in the process of being hired for the Obama cabinet. These emails came to light after Congressman Issa followed up on a Bloomberg report from October. The story in Bloomberg News then was that the Fed had ordered AIG to repay Goldman Sachs and other banks full price for $62 billion of swaps rather than at a discounted rate to give some money back to the taxpayers. Hugh Sohn, the Bloomberg reporter who wrote the original story and broke the news of yesterday's emails, joins us now to dig in on these new revelations. Hugh, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with your first story, almost 3 months old now. What was the backdoor bank bailout, as you called it?
Well, we didn't call it that. People like Congressman Issa called it that. The crux of the outrage about the AIG bailout has been that the bank trading partners, who are the guys who bought the insurance from AIG, insuring pretty questionable mortgage securities based on subprime mortgages. Those banks received full face value for many billions of dollars of coverage. When, you know, if you went to the market to try to recoup your costs on those contracts, you would have gotten something like 50 cents on the dollar.
Right. In other words, here's a company that went bankrupt, AIG. And the government was trying to arrange the terms between the company and its creditors. And normally, creditors of a bankrupt company would not be paid 100 cents on the dollar. They'd be paid something less than that in some kind of a deal. But for some reason, Tim Geithner, I guess, and others at the Fed insisted that Goldman Sachs and other creditors be paid the full amount that AIG owed them, which means the taxpayers were the ones paying Goldman Sachs all that money. Why did the Fed want that?
Well, the Fed and, you know, I think there's a report from Treasury watchdog Neil Barofsky a couple of months ago indicated this. The Fed believed or said they believed that they didn't have a choice because the threat of bankruptcy was precluded when they bailed out AIG. So sort of this catch-22 situation.
The threat of bankruptcy was precluded by the bailout itself. Therefore, they were obligated to pay Goldman and other creditors 100% of what was owed.
That was the argument. They took over negotiations between AIG and the counterparties. Negotiations in which AIG was attempting to get haircuts from the counterparties. They spent about 2 days in November trying to get them to accept haircuts, and they couldn't do it. The Fed made it clear to the banks that, hey, these negotiations, you know, that this is a purely voluntary effort. So if you don't want to, you don't have to accept any haircut. So it certainly seemed as though they were not making the strongest effort to get discounts.
A haircut being industry lingo for taking a loss. What's new in the emails that you reported yesterday?
Well, the emails, one of the key facts that never really came out in any kind of AIG disclosure was that the trading partners were going to be fully reimbursed 100 cents on the dollar to retire these credit default swaps. In an earlier 8K, and an 8K is just sort of a standard regulatory release, it's very common. In a draft of an 8K, that sentence existed. That sentence was crossed out by the New York Fed's attorneys, and in the subsequent actual regulatory filing, that it appears as though all of the New York Fed suggestions about what the draft, what the filing should read like, those suggestions were taken, and there was no mention of anything about a 100 cents on the dollar.
In other words, it wasn't so much AIG itself that was pushing to repay its creditors 100% on the dollar. It was the government?
It was the New York Fed, which shouldn't be confused for the government.
Well, it's part of, I realize it's an independent branch of the government, but I'm going to call it the government. Why would they want that? Why would they push for it? I mean, it's one thing to describe it or explain it the way you explained it a minute ago, which is that they felt they had no choice
right. But
to take taxpayer money, no choice under the law, and repay Goldman Sachs and others at 100 cents on the dollar. It's another thing for them to actually push AIG to do that.
Well, that's why this is perhaps one of the single most controversial aspects of the financial rescue that's left, bad taste in the mouths of a lot of people.
And what's your understanding from these new emails as to why the Fed pushed hard for this?
The emails do not, I mean, there's no rationale in the emails. There's no, Timothy Geithner's name isn't in any of the emails. It's from New York Fed lawyers. There's no clear explanation within it. What it leaves open is it sort of feeds into the existing narrative, which is, the Fed seems to place the health and well-being of its banks at a pretty, above, considerations, other considerations. At least that's the narrative. As directors of the New York Fed come from the banks, and that's another issue about that people have looked at.
Did Tim Geithner come from the banking world?
Not directly.
And as far as his responsibility for this, I see that just in the last few minutes, I don't know if you've seen this yet, Congressman Elijah Cummings has demanded that Geithner himself testify on these AIG Fed emails. So I guess there's your update for the Bloomberg website this morning.
we broke that story. We got that.
Oh,
we
got that
from,
story.
From Representative Cummings first, and then they put it out. I would say this. It seems as though the Treasury has a huge problem on their hands, because when you have a Democrat saying, when it's not just Republicans calling for an explanation of this and calling and wanting to know what Geithner knew and when he knew it about those emails.
Right.
When you have a Democrat calling for that, that would seem to be the tipping point in which it might be unavoidable for him to explain himself.
What does it have to do with him being a Democrat? Oh, in other words, Elijah Cummings is a Democrat, and he's calling for this Obama administration appointee to come. So it's not come and testify. So it doesn't look like a partisan thing. So that adds additional pressure. That's what you're saying?
Right. It seems like more of a consensus. It seems like, it's not just, these Republicans who have always been criticizing him and criticizing Geithner because that's, sort of an easy target and as a proxy for the administration. Now you have, solid Democrat calling for this.
And there's certainly populist outrage on both sides of the aisle around the country. I think that's going to be one of the political themes of 2010, and we'll see who it benefits in the midterm elections this year. People on both sides are certainly furious at the Fed and the Treasury Department for some of the things that were done along the way here, sometimes for different reasons.
Yeah.
In this case, probably for the same reasons, and we have Republican Congressman Issa releasing these emails to you yesterday once they came to his attention, and now you have Democratic Congressman shortcomings, demanding that Geithner testify about them. And my guest on WNYC is Hugh Sohn, the Bloomberg News reporter who has been following the relationship between the Fed and AIG and the full payments that they made on their debt to Goldman Sachs and some other companies and the Fed's role in this. And on Geithner's role, personally, today's New York Times article on this mentions that Meg Riley, a spokeswoman for the Treasury, said that Mr. Geithner played no role in these decisions. And indeed, by November 24th, when this was taking place in 2008, he was recused, specifically recused, from working on issues involving any specific companies, including AIG, because he was already in transition to the Obama administration. So how much of this can we put on Geithner's plate?
Well, so the thing that you have to know about what's going on is that Treasury put out an earlier statement earlier in the day that just that was a little bit more less strong. Later on in the day, they put out another statement. It seems as though the story is not going away, and so that they had to be more emphatic about their response. That response, that Geithner played no role in these decisions. I talked to a bunch of people about this, and it can be a true statement in the extent that, that he played no role in the specific decisions about what actually happened. That doesn't preclude, the larger issue about transparency, and who was calling the shots at the New York Fed. If he wasn't, it doesn't also deny the fact that these emails show that the New York Fed wanted AIG to essentially censor its own regulatory filings.
And let's come back to that, because that's the other thing that's really new in the emails that you released yesterday. It's not just that the Fed was pressuring AIG to repay Goldman and others in full. It's that now we know that the Fed was urging AIG to keep all of this a secret, both from their own shareholders and from the general public. And in the new world, where the public owns 80% of AIG, on some level we are all the shareholders. So is that even legal for a public company?
Well, to cross into illegality, I'd probably have to be a more extreme example of this. I think you have to think about the spirit of disclosure and the fact that the owners of the company are essentially you and I and everybody else in the United States. You also have to think, if it's true that Geithner played no role in actual decision-making about sort of censoring of the regulatory filings, then did he allow it to happen? He was still in charge of the New York Fed at the time until January. So did it happen without his knowledge? Is that something people want to look into further?
But explain again about the secrecy. Why would the Fed encourage AIG to keep this a secret? If this is something that they felt was necessary for to satisfy the law, that since this company was no longer in danger of going bankrupt, that they needed to pay Goldman Sachs back at 100 cents on the dollar of their debt, if that was their rationale and they stood by it as a public policy measure, why did they want AIG to keep it public? What was gained in having this withheld from the public?
It depends on who you ask. The New York Fed would argue that withholding some information protected AIG and protected the counterparties, and that was
protected them from what?
That's a good question. The Fed Vice Chairman Don Cohn testified in March and said that we don't want to give out the names of the counterparties because that would harm AIG. It's a company that we're trying to prop up right now, and that would harm the counterparties because those are private commercial transactions that were entered into privately. Later on, when the names of the counterparties were released and when some more of the information about the actual transactions were released, it turns out that the world kept turning and everything was okay.
There's an op-ed today on Huffington Post co-authored by Elliot Spitzer and William K. Black entitled "The Tip of the Iceberg." Are there other emails out there that you would want to see next?
You'd want to see emails and phone logs between Geithner and Treasury Secretary at the time, Hank Paulson.
and Treasury Secretary Hank Paulson involved in this. Might Elijah Cummings and his committee call Paulson to testify? I'm sensing that we haven't heard the last of this AIG controversy in Congress.
Right. I mean, it seems as though Paulson's kind of rode off into the sunset. Maybe they could call him to testify. I mean, Geithner is the one in the hot seat now because he's Treasury Secretary right now. So,
and was president of the New York Fed at the time.
Right. And he was president of the New York Fed at the time of the AIG bailout.
By the way, clear one thing up for us, since I know we're going to get emails on this. When you said the Fed is not part of the government, and I said, well, for the sake of this discussion, we'll call it part of the government. Give me 30 seconds on the way in which the Fed is or is not part of the government.
You could talk to a lot of people and get different answers on this, and to be honest, I'm not the expert at Bloomberg News on this. They possess powers of the government. They're independent, apparently, from the government. It's problematic because their directors are made up of bank CEOs. And, for instance, Stephen Friedman, who was on the board of the New York Fed at the time of the AIG bailout, was also on the board of Goldman Sachs at the same time.
Interesting. Though the president, of course, appoints the chairman of the Federal Reserve, and there are debates going on in Congress right now about additional oversight or additional scrutiny by Congress over the functions of the Fed, like setting interest rates that are independent at this moment in their hands. But all right, well, interesting developments in the story of the relationship between the Fed and AIG during the emergency in the fall of 2008, and what was withheld from shareholders and withheld from the public at the time, based on new emails released from Congressman Daryl Issa yesterday to my guest, Hugh Sohn from Bloomberg News. Hugh, thanks a lot for coming on and explaining it for us.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll return to the money trail in a few minutes with personal finance guru Jane Bryan Quinn, who'll tell you how to avoid the bailed out banks altogether and use community or internet banks if you prefer. She says internet banks offer the best deals right now on checking and savings accounts, by the way. But in a minute, we'll talk to Republican gubernatorial hopeful in New York, Rick Lazio. Stay with us.